Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable and Oscar Clavel deliver the message entitled, Joy Comes in the Morning.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
We pick up Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. During these past several weeks of Advent, this season of the church year leading us up to this the Christmas day, we've been looking at some of the great hymns of our faith as they tell us the story, as they prepare us for the birth of our Lord. O come, Emmanuel, go tell it on the mountain, silent night, it was the night of our dear Savior's birth, O holy night, all leading us to the celebration of this day as we sing these glorious words, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Let us sing together. For the Christmas program at church, a little boy who had been given the part of the angel asked his mother what tidings meant. She said, "Tidings means news." Well, he liked that simple answer and continued to practice his one and only line, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Over and over, he practiced that line. But when the lights dimmed for the program, every word of his announcement vanished. And he panicked. The shepherds were in place, keeping watch over their flock by night, and it was time for him to enter the scene. But try as he may, he could not remember his line. Slowly he walked across the platform, trying desperately to remember what to say, when suddenly he remembered his mother's words and said, "Boy, have I got good news for you." You know, any way we put it, this is the message of the angels. It is the message of the Christmas day. It is the message of the Christian faith. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. In the birth of Jesus Christ, this birth we celebrate this day, joy has come into the world. Joy given not just to Mary and Joseph, the kind of joy that any newborn parents would, or expectant parents would enjoy in the birth of their child, not just to shepherds who were fortunate enough to be abiding out in their fields near Bethlehem that night, not just to the Magi, the wise men who saw the star shining in the west and made their journey to find him and worship him, not even just to those who were blessed enough to hear him preach or to feel the touch of his healing hand. No, this joy is for every man and woman and child, in every time and every place, in every nation, in every tongue. And this good news has echoed down through the centuries to you and to me today. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Yet how are we to respond to this kind of good news of great joy, which is given to all the people? Like any gift that's offered to us, we must first accept this gift given to us by God. It's intended to be received, accepted, enjoyed. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Last evening, we were reminded of the quote from St. Augustine, who said, "This birth is always happening, but if it happens not in me, what does it profit me? What matters is that it shall happen in me." Friends, God's deepest desire for us, each one of us, is that we will open our hearts and receive the gift he has given to us in Jesus Christ, the gift of his hope and his peace and his love and his joy, the gift of his grace and his salvation. And in our accepting and believing that Jesus really is God's gift of himself to us, we join with the whole of heaven and earth in worship and song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with Savior.
Young student sat in the pastor's office and asked, "How long have you been pastoring?" "Well, let's see, about 25 years, give or take," said the pastor. "Is it hard? Does it ever become overwhelming?" "I guess like anything in life, it has its ups and downs," responded the pastor kindly. Then the student asked the question he'd been wanting to ask. "So after 25 years, what do you preach about? I mean, hasn't everything been said that could be said about the gospel?" The pastor smiled and with a spark in his eyes answered, "In some ways, yes. But the gospel isn't a once you hear it and you're done. It needs to be repeated to fully appreciate and capture it." Years later, that same college student asked his supervisor, "So what do you preach over after all these years?" And his friend responded, "The gospel is a lot like the symphony. You return to the melody time and time again. Repeat, return to, or as Paul wrote to the Philippians, it is no trouble for me to write these things to you again, for it is a safeguard for you." The gospel is a song that continually repeats in the heart of the Christian. There is something captivating and convincing about the gospel message that Jesus is our King and he is also our Savior. And the more we hear it, the more it works into our hearts. And the more we hear it, the more we think about it and we find ourselves being changed and transformed. Sure, there is something to be said about repetition. I mean, ask any parent how many times they had to repeat a command to their children, and it takes a few tries, doesn't it? But we are not dealing with commands. We're talking about life and spirit. And perhaps the reason we need to hear the gospel message again and again is not because we are sinners who forget. I think it's because we know that there is always something more to be learned, something more to be appreciated. You know, haven't you ever been amazed how after reading a scripture verse or hearing a sermon over a familiar passage, again, maybe months or years later, it speaks something totally different to you? It's as if the gospel peeked into your life at that very moment and had something particular and significant to say about it. But the gospel is more than a teacher, and it's more than wise words from sages. We return to the gospel message because it is ultimately alive. Behind the words, and even in the words themselves, we encounter Jesus Christ. And he is familiar, he is gentle, and we never tire of hearing from him, because the greatest change in our lives, the most courageous acts that we have ever performed, the greatest loves that we have ever held, all come from him, from his leading and from his directing voice. So yes, let's repeat with resounding joy again and again, because our God reigns.
All of human history can really be divided into two great eras, time before the coming of Christ and time after the coming of Christ. This day, this birth, marks that dividing line. And whether the contrast between the two is great or not, there is a before and an after in our lives as well. The picture of a before life is dark and dismal. It's a life, a world cut off from God, void of his saving grace. It's a life of brokenness and disharmony in our relationships with God, our relationships with one another, even our relationships within ourselves. It is a world where sins and sorrows grow and thorns infest the ground. This is a picture of life without God, without Christ, without hope, without joy in the world. This is the picture of life from which Jesus came to redeem us and save us. Recall the name Jesus in Hebrew means Jehovah saves, God saves. So Jesus' name not only tells us who he is, but also what he does. Jesus saves. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from ourselves. He came to rescue us and redeem us from a life that is cut off from God. He came to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. And how did he do that? By taking the curse of human sinfulness upon himself. This little child of Bethlehem came to redeem us from our loss by suffering and dying for us and for our salvation. His name shall be called Jesus, announced the angel to Mary, for he will come to save his people from their sins. Had there been no sin, we would have no need for a Savior. Yet since we live in a world that is broken and burdened by sin, Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come and do for us what we could never do for ourselves, namely, to save us. This is the good news of the Christmas day. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered, where is Christmas leading us? What could a young baby teach us about humanity, about world events, about that small square of the world we influence? Maybe not much at first, until we consider the totality of this child's life. What will his message and what will his heart be about? He'll show love to God and neighbor, unlike any before we have seen. Service will be his heartbeat, and his message will be unique. Time and time again, he will say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." And Christmas is that inauguration date of that kingdom, the day that God said, "Enough is enough. Sin will not be the master over humanity, and hate will not be the natural way of life." His kingdom, he says, is not of this world, but we can begin to participate in it with love, truth, and grace. Now, these three words, they're not just thoughts, nor are they just philosophical quandaries. They are by nature actions. And as we look at the life of Jesus, he demonstrated what he taught. When he befriended the sick, he said, "Love one another." When others judged him because of the company he kept, he said, "God did not come for those who are well, but for those in need of God's grace." When asked by a woman what was the meaning of life, he said, "I have living waters that never end." Jesus shows us that the meaning of his birth, much like his life in kingdom, was to take all the things that God is, love, grace, and truth, and embody them. I once heard a couple arguing say these infamous words, "I don't need to hear that you love me. I want you to show me." Even at this heart level, we know that our love, our truth, and our grace must be embodied for another to hear it. This Christmas day is like the beginning of the life that we are called to live. It is a repetition. It is good news. And it is also pure joy that Jesus Christ was born today. And because of that, we again sing joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Amen and amen.
Friends, our benediction today is the good news of the angels, announced to the shepherds on that first Christmas day. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, both this day and forevermore. Amen and amen. Go in his peace."